away.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't remember that, but you know, in dog and others, there may be 800. Okay,
but
some
of
them.
I understand what you're saying. Like, yeah, there has to be a reason, like, yeah, an environmental reason why that would be a benefit.
Yeah.
And that would beat out the other option.
Yeah.
But that could also mean that we can't even perceive of an environmental condition that would be so extreme. But that might just be because we can't conceive that.
Well, you can. If you are a blind animal, okay, you know, that needs a total map of the environment to smell like a dog. A dog,
yeah,
doesn't, you know, his map of the outdoor, of the outside, is not visual. Mm-hmm. You know, it's smell. And all these details that we don't understand, you know, he has the memory of, you know, a few days ago, another dog went there, and a month ago, I went there, okay? So little traces and complexity, I mean, he can have a whole story, you know, by just sniffing that corner.
Well, that's the difference between, that's like, so effectively, it's not an infinite perception, but that's the difference between taking three primaries and,
yeah,
developing everything you can perceive from three, and essentially just like a new molecule for almost every,
yeah,
different memory,
yeah. Yeah,
where you're making like a catalog,
yeah,
versus a,
yeah,
a continuum.
But we don't use it, okay? We don't, you know, use the same richness, you know, and have our primary perception and memories and richness of what it is. I mean, it's usually...
Yeah, and we can't conceive of it. It's not something...
Exactly. We cannot even conceive. You go with the dog and you've no idea how, you know, his whole perception is about smell. Okay? For us, you know, relatively simple memories that are associated with complex, you know, smells. So you can tell little differences.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Definitely.
It could be like the same bush on a different day.
That's
like,
right.
This is the
That's
bush in
right.
the winter. This
That's
is
right.
the bush in like the early winter.
Yeah. Or the cooking.
This is the day of the
That's
bush.
Right. Like the spices, okay, can have really, you know, subtle difference that we still have because we inherited that, you know, that richness, okay? But we evolved into almost totally, you know, visual.
Okay? Isn't that showing us that? It's showing us how there's something that we can't understand, but if you could understand, this is what it would, this is how it would work. Like,
so
that's what it's
as a biologist,
us.
One would say the only way to understand anything about, you know, living things is through evolution.
But evolution,
okay,
is a mechanism that has...
No, evolution is the history, the story of how you got where you got,
right,
and why are there things that don't make sense right now.
Okay, natural selection is the process, and evolution is the complete result of the process plus the result. But like the process of natural selection is a physical process that can create self-organizing systems.
No, but I mean, you know, you're talking about the most fundamental things.
Yeah,
okay?
Like that, what is...
No, I'm talking about...
But why does biology have to end there? I'm saying like...
No. I mean, you know, you can write poetry or that, or, you know, philosophy or whatever. But, I mean, it's not...
I like how you always dismiss philosophy, like...
No. I mean, on the contrary, you know, I'm saying that the biology will explain... Okay, but not, it's not a matter of natural selection. You know, I'll give you an example.
Okay.
Really at the molecular level. Okay?
That's,
you know,
the, like, what? In natural selection, that's the level it happens.
No,
but
tinkering, how evolution tinkers. Okay? And then when you see something that doesn't make sense, it makes sense only when you go back.
Yeah,
okay.
But the code is a molecule. So everything that's happening is happening to a code. Like the result of evolution is the result of a code that's being manipulated.
No.
Like, yes, it is.
No. Yes. You know, some of it and the mutations are code, okay, but the environment gives you what is called epigenetics.
I know that,
okay?
But that's all, like, that's all a result of the main code. Like,
but
when it's been executed.
Let me give you that example, okay? When the eye was studied, okay, by the way, the visual system is always given by what do you call then?
I know what you're going to say, like the eye, the perfect organ argument.
No, I'm actually telling you a different story. So when they were looking at the lens, okay, what protein is the lens made of, okay? And, you know, it's a structural protein, okay? It has to be transparent and constructed in a way that you can get a lens that has very little flexibility, but the properties of the lens.
Right, and it's that an unlikely self-organizing structure.
That's right. But what was a total shock is that it was made of enzymes that are in the cycle of energy, that are present in minute, you know, concentration, because, you know, they are only, you know, to get a certain chemical reaction.
But how is that just not a second order effect of evolution, natural selection itself? Like,
it is, but I'm saying that if you look at the lens and you see a protein that everywhere else, you know, is in micromolar, and here it's in grams, you know, so 100 billion times the concentration anywhere else. Okay, then you understand that evolution in most cases doesn't invent new things. It looks at the box tool and says, okay, you know, what can we tinker with that was an enzymatic activity, you know, into a structural protein billions times the amount, okay? And it's not a good solution. Okay, the lens there, if you were an engineer, you'll construct probably quite differently.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, thermodynamically,
yeah,
evolution also is a process, like, this is a more general level.
Yeah.
But it doesn't produce highly unlikely results, but it selects for them. So the result is you get very, very, like, statistically unlikely situations. Like, matter is not supposed to... Energy is supposed to flow a certain way.
Yeah, no,
and
that
is what has happened. There's no other physical force that is going to take energy and turn it into information.
Sure, at the highest level,
biology is the highest level of that happening.
Life, okay, is
it's
going
an exotic,
against...
Exactly. It's an exotic thermodynamic situation that happens, that might happen nowhere else in the universe.
But you see, that's the highest level. And then you go to water.
Why wouldn't you want it?
No,
it on the highest level.
No, because you cannot explain love by movement of electrons.
Isn't that
and
good?
It is. Yeah. So I'm saying that you cannot.
Are you saying it's better to understand love? Like, I know what molecules are.
No,
making,
I'm saying
like,
you could
love.
Theoretically. Okay.
So isn't that the best place to be? Like you're thinking, like you're understanding how the world is working, but you're not like thinking about like why am I so horny right now? Or
no, we
like,
started
what molecule
that with Smith,
can fix
right?
my erection.
So we started. we started with smell and the richness of smell and why, relative to all the other perception, it has more possibilities than almost makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at apes, at people, you know, knowing our, you know, needs for survival, you'd say the visual system should be extremely complex, and it has cones and, you know, maybe 3 or 4 building elements.
Right.
Okay. The taste has maybe 7 or 8. Okay. And the smell has 400. Okay. And you say, it doesn't make sense to our needs. Where did it come from? Okay? And you start looking at the tree, not at the molecular level. You start looking at the ancestors and ancestors, and then you find that somewhere in the tree, okay, that was an essential perception that there was no reason, you know, to get rid of. Okay? Just like whales have legs. Okay? You know? They are hidden and not used, but there was no pressure, you know, to get rid of them. So I'm talking about this level. I agree with
you're
you.
You're talking about
yeah. everything else.
I mean, what you're saying, I totally understand. You're talking about history. You're talking about a natural history.
As yeah.
You're thinking, you're talking about the past.
Yeah.
And, like, the beauty in that. In
understanding
that. Exact,
death.
But, like, yeah. not in a general sense, but, like, I don't just, like... cuts in rocks, but I like Yosemite Valley. Like, this valley started out here. It's just like you're thinking about a specific history. But, and I'm just saying, like, when the bush for me is, I am usually thinking about more on the thermodynamic level, like how that is a code. And when you take a base, because I'm teaching digital, I mean, I'm teaching digital electronics right now. So digital is like one or zero, transistors on or off.
Of course.
But even by using that, you can encode like any information.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of space, but then you have something like DNA, which is just like a naturally occurring code, and that's base four. And that's
why.
And then
that's
and working in screen printing where you can.
So as an engineer,
screen printing, you can. There's a technique where you can just use, like at a print shop, you just use the primary.
That's right.
And so you're making, you're lighting everything with
right.
three colors.
So you as an engineer should say, okay.
No, that, hold
it
on.
It doesn't make sense to have 400 because you
no,
can.
No. That is not my reaction. Okay. I look at that and that says that even though we can't really perceive of why this makes sense, that hints at a theoretical level of perception that it I can't even understand. And that just illustrates the beauty of the system, the way that it's not just the mechanism of natural selection or the mechanism of star formation that creates our heavy elements. It's like the repetitions of those cycles and the second order cycles that are coming off of them. It's a fractal, like every level is creating like a one
and you
direction.
Cannot get it with a base of 20?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, mathematically, that could go to infinity. Like 400 is not really a big number. And so even though we can't conceive of like what, if it was like a base 1 million.
But it's 400 codes, you know, obviously, I mean, and we know that. It's the combination. It's not 400
Right, but that's
separate.
A different level, like a base three primary colors can effectively create almost every color you can see. But if you take that and even add a base four, that code becomes 10 times bigger.
So why
you
don't we have 400 cones, you know, given that our
what you're saying, we don't need them in our environment, but this is showing us that like in theoretical other conditions, either other times, like maybe very close to the Big Bang, maybe very much after our current time, like there could be conditions where the exchange of energy and mass is happening, so that stuff
But
does
you
happen.
Are explaining facts. The fact is that you know that there are 400, and now you
well,
make
we don't
a story.
Know that.
Oh, we know that there are 400
well, you
genes
said it was
for different, you know, that are totally different.
Okay, I thought 400 was just like the accepted.
Oh, no, no,
guess.
Those receptors have been isolated.
So you're saying there's basically like 400?
I don't know if 400, but 100.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
okay.
No, maybe 300.
Okay.
I don't remember.
That's what I was just saying, like that 400 is like the number.
Yeah, no, let's use 400.
Yeah, and I am creating a story,
exactly.
But I think like you need an imagination to understand them. Like to me, it's about understanding that as a beautiful object. Like that's just become a part of my personal history in ways I don't even understand. But by like pursuing it and thinking about it and making art about it, just like a bush or something simple,
and it
like
doesn't,
really
and taste
it.
Doesn't give you the same.
Well, taste
know,
is a different system. Taste is a primary system.
It there's is a primary.
Yeah, like five tastes, right? So that's different than 400.
No, but in general, perception of taste is not as powerful as smelling for you, John.
I think
Visual. Oh, your visual
smells
perception.
Have like been hitting me harder. Like, if I lately, I think sights are really like images are more material for me now. So I can be at like the beach and really appreciate a sunset or something like that. But then smell will grab me harder. Like initially, at least, maybe not long term, but like. The smells have been like instantaneously.
What about texture? Are you kind of a sensitive person to, you know?
I think that's interesting. Like I like using different materials.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't say I'm
so in your art. But in your art, you know, the smell is not, you know, much of.
Well, now, like in the last year, it's been on my mind a lot. So there actually was a smell exhibit in my open studios. Just a very small
maybe you should.
And I have a huge piece of this rock rose, like that was the main thing I was showing. But along with that, I just had a piece, an object I've been collecting for no real reason, just because I wanted to. And it's sort of hard to keep around because it's really fragrant. It's this little piece of wood, and it had stickers on it that said, it was kind of goofy. It was like, smell me, what's the smell? Answer on the back. And what it is the train track from Santa Cruz, actually. And it's got, and once you see that it's train track, you're like, yes, of course. But it's like a really, it's really evocative. Yeah, yeah. It's a really evocative.
So you know what's really interesting? I don't remember the name, but there is a disorder where the sensory axons reach the wrong place, okay? And colors, you know, synesthesia, yeah. which really kind of gives you, you know, a general idea of how, you know, visual, I mean, that you cannot totally separate.
Yeah.
You know, some people, music, right, you know, comes in colors, okay? They're hearing, okay? You know,
yeah.
That's the other sense, is sound. I mean, again, as a musician, isn't sound...
Well, sound is also very so mathematical, yeah. Like tones. Yeah. That's been the thing with the records, yeah. Is like they're pure tones.
Yeah.
So they're just, like, microscopically, they're perfect sine waves.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
perfect, because
yeah.
they were played through a speaker. Yeah, yeah. But it's the big ones are almost a million, exactly a million perfect sine waves.
Yeah.
But then, so when you turn one on, it's really interesting. When you turn one on, it's just a screech. And it doesn't sound good. As soon as you turn the second one on, it turns into music.
Yeah.
And then you turn the third one on, it's like, okay, it's on.
Yeah.
And then you can play it like a composition over it.
Yeah.
And it's been cool to work with Danny because he's a composer. You're like, oh, make a composition in this key for this instrument. And it takes him like two nights.
Yeah. So I don't remember, you know, I mean, you know, beside the hairs and, you know, it's probably all about combining frequencies.
Okay? Yeah, but when frequencies combine, it's interesting. When you look at them, like if you combine two or three frequencies, if they don't regularly mix, they just look like noise.
Like light.
But then you apply a Fourier transform, and so it's just a mathematical transform, and then you get the peaks.
Yeah.
So you almost have to, it's almost like infrared vision.
Yeah.
One thing that's been, I've just been thinking about that I think is misunderstood is when people... they discount something like a picture from a false color picture from space, and it's sort of like almost Photoshopped to look more beautiful. And the idea that I guess the philosophical idea that beauty is so subjective, like perception is so subjective, like you can't understand the universe because you're just part of the universe. You're perceiving it, but that's like. For me, it's even the ability to see is sort of a superpower.
Absolutely.
Like you have these instruments,
of course.
And not just the ability to detect these things, but make a mental map and go about your day like navigating with these senses. It's a superpower. And taking an infrared image and mixing it with a visible image is like giving you a peek into that. I think it's a really cool idea.
What's interesting also in many of the perception, we have relatively narrow field, right? You know, in terms of colors, in terms of frequency of hearing, okay? You know, even less than dogs, right?
Yeah. But at least the frequency of hearing goes up, like, by more orders of magnitude, you know, like 20 hertz to 20,000.
Yeah.
So you're adding some zeros. Visible light is what, like 480 nanometers?
Yeah, but the perception of different, you know, colors probably as rich, you know, as it gets for some, right? You know? I mean, the mix of, you know, of colors and, you know, and the kind of emotional relationship to that is not, you know, narrow. Like, right?
That's what I like about photography the best now. Like, I don't, usually, like, when I see a photography exhibit, a modern one, it doesn't always grab me, but when it's showing you how light works, like, how light mixes, because good photographs, you can really like see a lot of different colors.
But you're right. I mean, if you look at the full spectrum from X-ray to, you know, microwave, right? I mean, we are really into a small
It's unbelievably
size.
Small, yeah. It's not even...
It's like we are not interested in looking at the universe through the X-ray spectrum, which probably is the most interesting.
We are, though.
You know, in terms of astronomy. Oh, we are.
Yeah, there's the X-ray observatories and the microwave ones. And
the
infrared one. They're always separate because they use different
sizes. But as living organism, you know, that looking at the universe, not, you know, just on the needs at the planet level, you know, will not evolve, you know. She didn't want us to look beyond, you know, the food and...
It was listening to the an interview with someone who was writing about the detection of gravity waves.
Yeah.
That was making me think of that. Because then you're taking, you're really just taking, like, a frequency, and you're saying that these are two black holes collide. This is what it looks like. And it's actually a sound print. So it's like a fifth of a second of sound that they expand out a little bit so you can hear it. So it's like,
and
they're saying, like, this is the sound. And people contesting that, it's like, that is, like, presented as a superpower. It's like, you can experience two black holes colliding legitimately as, like, something you can perceive. There's nothing, it's aided, it's artificial a little bit, but that's, like, pretty amazing and inspiring.
Well, because you cannot look at that, because...
No, you can't.
Okay,
there's
so what
no light.
You do, you translate it into, you know, the kind of perception that, you know, you can listen to that if you process the data in a certain way.
And it also means, like, that part of quantum mechanics is definitely right, where mass is, like, everything is just force fields, including mass, like, the Higgs field imparts everything else with mass. So mass isn't like a property of an object, it's just the result of an interaction. And that is
Well, I mean, that already started with Einstein, right? Energy and mass.
Well, yeah.
And now it's kind of presented, right, in terms of force fields, and you can generalize it to
his gravity, like his general relativity predicts the gravity waves. But the way mass is part of the Higgs field, that's post-Einstein.
No, it's what happens when a physicist doesn't think about equations, but looks at everything in geometry, right?
Yeah, you know, like,
in
what is
perceptual,
this?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, I mean, I think
trying
it's like...
to visualize, I mean, all of these, okay? And that was the only way, you know, to be able to see, you know, and understand things that don't make sense.